the coming of the lawless one, that's Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Why are they perishing? They did not love truth. They loved something else, anything else except God's truth. They perished, the very thing God did not want man to do.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, let's join Pastor Rick for today's message entitled Sin, Lies, Plus Truth.
Abel, he brought before God a blood sacrifice, saying, I sinned. Innocent animals had to die. And now this whole recycling thing of eating animals and has begun because of sin. Cain comes along and says, well, you know what? That's a little gory. I don't like it. And so I'm going to bring a fruit basket. That's something you give to somebody at work who's come back from maternity leave or something. Put a fruit basket on their desk. That's not something to bring before God. But that's what Cain did, because he wanted to reform God. And man is still doing it. And what happened to Cain? Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. After God dealt with him on this, then Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh. He went out from God's presence. Well, what is hell? Hell is to be eternally away, out from God's presence. Outside are dogs and sorcerers and immoral, sexually immoral, and on the list goes. You might be saying, but I've done some of these things. God can and does forgive. And it's recurrent grace if you be genuine. And so whether practiced or preached, Christless men endeavor to make or to take the shame out of sin. You can't do it. Sin is shameful. And so we have a person like Bruce Jenner. I mean, where's the shame? He's lionized. He's awarded awards for having courage. It's not courage for a man to dress up like a woman and go outside. It's insanity. And so as the Romans integrated the gods of the Greeks into the culture, churches and Christians are integrating sin and shamelessness and falsity into the church. And they're doing it at a rate that's never been done before, thanks to technology. See, before you could be in your little own little canyon doing these things, and the people on the other side of the hill would never know what was going on. Now the world, the Tower of Babel, has been rebuilt. And man can communicate with each other without hindrance. And he can spread and he can indoctrinate with destructive heresies, even in the house of God. I hope this makes all of us uncomfortable. Uncomfortable enough to stand up against it. The forces working against a church to stop being a church are incessant. It's like a submarine. I like this analogy. I think it's a very good analogy. When a submarine is submerged, the ocean is pressing on that vessel. And if it finds a void, it will exploit it and destroy that vessel. That's what the church is. And people are coming in constantly trying to get the shepherd to follow the sheep. That's all they need to do. Once that happens, she has been destroyed. I encourage you to be courageous, to be stronger than that, to not fall for it, to not give in. You may think you're right, and you might be on certain points, but not the major points. Now, I'm not saying that if a pastor starts going in the way of heresy, that you should sit there and take it. That's the last thing you should do. I'd run out of that church so fast it'd catch on fire for me blazing through the hallways. Man, apart from God, is spiritually deranged. And we cannot lose sight of this. We are not to make fornicators, homosexuals, adulterers, flagrant sinners of any variety, comfortable in their chosen iniquity. I said that already, I know, but it needs to be said again. Man apart from God is crazy for the flesh, for the lust, and unfit for the kingdom of God as such. 2 Peter, the very letter we are considering in the first chapter, Peter says, be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust is the appetite of the sinful nature. It wants things that are bad for it. It wants things that are bad for us all. Galatians 6, verse 8, Paul writes, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. These are the stakes. This is what it's all about. The soul, it is everything. Where are you going when you leave here? Here being earth, the physical creation. Where are you going? Heaven or hell? I'm just asking. And yet the illogic of a deranged world is at war against God. Think of the things you cannot do in the name of Christ that you can do in the name of the world. When you hate, when you murder, when you lie, when you envy, you cannot do it in Jesus' name. You have to find some other name to do it in, perhaps your own. When you abuse another person, you cannot do it in the name of God the Son. When you lust for another's spouse, you cannot do it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the world calls us crazy, and the world wants nothing to do with us. They don't have a say-so in this matter. We will preach the word. That's why we're here. The moment the church can save no one else is the moment she's taken out of the way. But until that time, we are here to preach Christ Jesus. We are to uphold truth in the face of lies, in the face of sin. That is our assignment. Not only are the lies loved, but truth is hated by the world. We understand this. Jude understood it because he listened to the apostles. Jude 17 and 19, verses 17 through 19. But you, beloved, that's the church, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, listen, this is old school. This has been preached to us. We are a part of this. This is why Jude's letter echoes Peter's second letter, which is our text, because Jude was listening to Peter. And he had folks that Peter could not reach, that he could reach, so he writes them a letter. He says, I want to talk to you about our salvation. But as I was doing this, the Holy Spirit impressed upon me to deal with these creeps in the church. And that's what he began to deal with. And towards the end of his short letter, he says, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. They're without the Holy Spirit. And so now we come to my third point. We had an introduction. We spoke on lies and sin. And now we speak about truth and true Christians. What is the defense against this deceit? What is the defense against the deceitful heresies by these false teachers? Has Christ just said, hey, just watch out for them, okay? Or has he given us something so that we could, a policy, a training skill that we could default to? He most certainly has. What is the defense? Love of the truth. To love the truth is to be able to identify deceit. If you are in some big city and some city slicker con man comes up to you, doesn't have to be in a big city, but that's where my head went, and he wants to con you out of something, when he starts talking to you about getting you involved in something and you don't know who he is, your love of the truth says, this guy, well, what's he talking to me for? He's up to something. And you get a street savvy with that. And so it's not easy to dupe a city slicker when he's on his game, because he understands that they're out there and he knows how to deal with them. And so the church has to learn. Now, I said to you, it's the love of truth that is our defense. And where would I get that from? 2 Thessalonians chapter 9. The coming of the lawless one, that's Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Why are they perishing? They did not love truth. They loved something else, anything else except God's truth. They perished, the very thing God did not want man to do. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would not perish. Poof, gone. Not truth alone. It's not enough to have truth. You have to love it. And we'll develop that slightly more towards the end. Not truth alone, but the love of the truth shields the believer from Satan's deceptions. Love of the truth comes from loving Jesus Christ. You can't love his truth if you don't love him. You will resent him. You will be bitter towards him. How many children submit to their parents because they love them even though they do not like the policies that have been put on them? But they love them. This doesn't mean every time a child rebels that they don't love their parent. They just haven't connected it. You can defeat the falsities of a person with truth only to see them tighten their grip on their beloved lies. In other words, you can refute a person's evolution and they have nothing to say. And you say to them, admit, it's impossible, even scientifically, admit it. They can say, I admit it, but I'm still not giving it. And they double down, and they go back and they find some other argument. This is what the Jehovah's Witnesses do. They come to your house, and you refute their lies, instead of saying, wow, you just blew away everything I thought I believed. I'm going to check that, and if you're right, I'm going to follow that truth. And that's not what they do. They go back and they say, okay, this is what he said to me. And then they say, well, let's come up with something. So the news media does. You refute them? Well, let's not talk about them. Let's just skip them. Skip. I'm sorry. My stomach churned when I thought of them. So you can defeat falsities in a person and have them cling to the lies nonetheless. Why is this? Because wherever truth is championed, the devil excites hatred against the champion. And it might be low-grade hatred, but it is hatred nonetheless. The host of this hatred may not recognize it as such, but that's what it is, because it's getting under their skin. And that's the evidence. You irk them being a Christian. You bother them. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, just looking at Jesus irked them. And thus their quest to publicly shame him in the crucifixion. They did not just want to stone him in some back alley of Jerusalem. They did not just want to send a sicari after him with a dagger to finish him off in Jerusalem. They wanted to shame him publicly because of the hatred Satan had put in their hearts. May we never succumb to the seductions that cause us to tighten our grip on lies, because we don't want to give the satisfaction to the other side. When truth is put before us, may we submit to it. You know how many Christians come, say they're Christians, come to a church, hear a pastor preach against two Christians living with each other outside of marriage, and they get all upset? You see, they've succumbed. They've been seduced. They've been had. They've been misled. They think this is something that's noble and acceptable, and they need time to work it out. We're not saying you're not saved. We're saying you disfellowship. It cost John the Baptist his head for standing up against sexual impurity. Is the church supposed to do less than John? We used to say, yeah, that was John. You know, he was all wet. How could he ever get it right? He was always shivering. No, not at all. We uphold these things. And I am committed. The next time some Christian tries to defend that with me, I'm taking off my belt. Not literally. Pants would fall down and I'd be laughed at. But say, mister, where'd you get those knobby knees? But not that I do. Never mind. Sorry. Eject. Truth, the severity of it, the value of it, it leads to faith. And faith defeats death. Do we understand that? Faith kills death. That's why God says, without faith, you can't please me. What does that mean? I don't want to be there. How do I overcome that? Faith, because it overcomes lies. I'll say it again. Truth leads to faith, and faith defeats death because it overcomes lies about God. Not other lies, lies about God. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, that means being made right, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you write on that line, and you have just blasphemed, there is no other, there is no and, just Jesus Christ. That's it. The world hates this idea when it, for them, for this. They don't hate it in other places. If you, they open their wallet out to pay a bill and you grab one of their $10 out, hey, it's okay. We can all share the same wallet. To be so uptight and narrow-minded and fundamental about these things. Anyway, continues Paul does, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope and glory of God. So, lies about God brought death to mankind. Truth about God restores eternal life to man. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification, putting you on the side, here's the process, by the Spirit and belief in the truth. That's what it comes down to. And this brings us to integrity, which is within truth. Truth upheld in the face of opposition. That's integrity. A steel beam. Well, I worked on the Brooklyn Bridge for a year. And there was one time, at least once, maybe more, that a crane on a barge or a ship or something would hit the bridge. It's not, you know, not a lot of distance from the water in the center span. And the integrity of the bridge would be challenged. It would bend up the steel pretty good. And the inspectors would have to get out there with all their gadgets and check and see what parts of the bridge were weakened. Where was the integrity compromised? And that section would be replaced. It would not be fixed. Those parts would be replaced because they could not be. The integrity could not be restored like that, unless you take the metal, melt it down, and cast it again. And that is what it is, the integrity to all of us. It is to uphold, to be what we were meant to be. Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 48, cursed is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully. Cursed is the one who does the work of Jehovah without integrity. You're not doing it as you're supposed to do it. And how is that? Loving the truth, upholding the truth, standing in truth. Integrity is the retaining wall for truth, be it for the individual, an institution, or a church. Integrity is that which is supposed to be there. And so when someone is trying to lure you away from truth and you stand against it, that's integrity. We notice it. Well, let me put it this way. We may not notice integrity when it's present. Some people can't see it. But we notice it when it's not there. We notice a double standard right away. May we have integrity. Daniel wrote this, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. That is the integrity, the retaining wall. That is what would cause them to stand as a people. Integrity is cast in love. You cannot have integrity if you don't love the Lord. Why bother then? I'll show you integrity, a mother who's willing to endure for her child, take the child's sickness, suffer whatever it takes for the sake of the child. Love is what does that. The result is fidelity. Gomer, the wife of Hosea, she lacked integrity. She was not true to her vows. Trustworthiness, faithfulness, reliability, all gone. God showed the prophet that he married a woman who did to him what the nation of Israel was doing to God himself. It's quite a touching story because Hosea maintains his integrity and he never abandons Gomer because of love. Well, I'm almost done. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, it's tested by fire, but it's genuine. The integrity of it, that is what we are supposed to have. And now my final point, friendship with God and its true destination. What's the big deal about having friendship with God? It goes somewhere. That's the big deal. It takes you somewhere. It's not just your two friends together, then death comes and that's it for the friendship. Denying sin's existence, cherishing lies, and dismissing truth only separate a soul from God, the God of love. Matthew 7:23, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Why'd they do that? For all the other reasons we talked about this morning. They mocked at sin. They didn't take it seriously. They didn't listen to God because they didn't take him seriously because they wanted it to be that way. Sin is the worst thing men on earth have encountered. All disease, all violence, all death comes from it. But if I can own this fact that I am a sinner and that salvation is through Christ alone, by faith alone, according to the scriptures alone, then I can also affirm with equal certainty that I am redeemed. I am a sinner redeemed off the auction block of Satan. Satan was selling me to my lust, to my world, to myself, and the Lord died for me and redeemed me from that auction block. And now I am his. Now I am safe. And it is infinitely more than a mere pardon from sin. To confess your sin is more than just saying, I am a sinner, God forgive me. It is friendship with God forever. It is friendship and service with God in the life of the sinner that was once against him. It is restored fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his suffering, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I've said all of this morning to certainly alert us and stir us up. As Peter said, he wrote these things to the church. He tells them why he wrote these things, to educate us and to change the wrong direction of any who might be listening who are going in the wrong direction in these days of exalted evil. We have the violent Muslim amongst us. We have the deranged political liberals amongst us. We have militant homosexuals, murderous and calloused abortionists. That's a euphemism, abortionist. We have an apostate church. We have an angry atheist party that is increasing all the time. The last person these want to hear from is the Holy One of Israel. The only way they're going to hear from him is through us. But if we do not understand sin and lies and truth and integrity, how can we be used effectively? I close with this verse from Isaiah 30, which talks about these who don't want to hear from this God that we love to their own hurt. They're not our enemies. They are those to be rescued. This is a rebellious people, said Isaiah, lying children, children who will not hear the law of Jehovah, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue sharing this in-depth study taught from the Word of God next time. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue teaching through God's Word. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.